Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grootniblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero G Draft Strategy. And in this podcast, Blake and I are going to talk about the biggest hotshots and have-nots of the last couple of weeks. Let's get it. And of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the analyst with multiple fantasy hockey playoffs to attend. Blake, how are we feeling tonight?
Oh my God. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful Sunday. Unfortunately, tomorrow's Monday. We're going to have a case of the Mondays. But yeah, it's an awesome time of year, man. Fantasy hockey playoffs are coming up. This is what we've been waiting for. And something I always notice around this time, Nate, is some of the traffic dies down a little bit on the Discord, doesn't it? It's like, because yeah, we're starting to whittle down, right? The people that are still in the fantasy playoff hunt, right? So yeah, some of the traffic dies down a little bit. So that's a little sad and lonely, but the good news is the people that are left, all legends, all freaking beauties. Let's get the biz. We got to do that. So yeah, I'm excited though, man. How about you? How are things going on this fine Sunday?
Going pretty well. I have another win in Cupful. I've got another win in the Experts League, even though that one I'm kind of tanking the season. We still got the Consolation Playoffs, and winning the Consolation Playoffs there actually means something. So that's one I need to build up for. Taking a close loss in the Patron League. I got a W coming my way again against Josh, actually, in the Content Creators League with the Fantasy Puck guys. So maintaining my top seeding in that league there. Yeah, overall, I got some fantasy hockey playoffs myself coming up here that I'm pretty excited about. But I think we should get to biz, as the people say. Not just you anymore, Blake. Now the people say it as
well.
It's
out in the ether. Yeah, it feels good.
It is. Let's talk about Carolina. So Jack Drury out for a while for the Canes. You may ask, why are we talking about Jack Drury? The reason is that opens up a spot for the Eagle, E. Kuznetsov, extra Kuzi, who's playing with Nietzsche and Nason today. Also on the top power play. So that's obviously got some interest for us. I don't know. I'll kick it to you, Blake. How much interest should we have in Kuznetsov, streamer? Carolina's got a 4-game one-off night schedule this week, but the off night isn't until Sunday, so you're kind of taking the hit probably, unless you got a bunch of open spots through the heavy nights this week. Are you going to grab Kuzi now? Are you thinking about if he's still there on Sunday, maybe I give him the run then? What's your thought on Kuznetsov?
Yeah, I actually like more of the second there. This isn't like a go out and grab him immediately kind of guy, because he did get good deployment in Washington as well, right? Which is admittedly a worse team, right? This is a better situation for him. But I mean, we can't expect the world from E. Kuzi here. So that said, I mean, if you have a spot and you can get him into, you know, two of the four games, I think that's probably worth it. Like, I'm ambivalent with Kuznetsov here. I'm not going out to add him, but it is noteworthy, right? Like, if this is a guy who's getting top six power play one on a good team. So, and he seems rejuvenated too. He seems absolutely stoked to be in Carolina, and that goes for something as well, right? Like, we could see a better performance from Kuzi moving forward here. So what are you doing with him?
Yeah, I'm mildly interested. Similar situation. I'm not shoehorning him into my lineup or like snapping him up just to see what I have. We've talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about this on the pod, but we've definitely talked about it off the pod, that like speculative ads are just something I never do. I've never once added someone just speculating that potentially they'll get on a good line and potentially they'll do something good and potentially he fits into my lineup at some point in the future. Everything I do has a lot more planning behind that when it comes to ads. So it's not something I'm really looking at until it makes sense for my lineup. So especially with the playoffs here, I'm just not looking to do that unless it really makes sense for my team and get me some games played as well. Moving over to Colorado, we got Lehkonen and Colton both battling illness, so you're gonna have to keep an eye on their status. They've got a Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back this week, so you'll have to double check on those guys before then. If you're looking to keep them in the lineup with Mittelstadt there, I am obviously lower on Colton. It's just gonna be tougher for him to move up the lineup. He's probably gonna still bang and get the odd shot and score the odd goal. He's still gonna be relatively useful, but definitely his minutes are gonna hold down any kind of real fantasy significance moving forward. Big news out of Vancouver. Thatcher Demko injured, couldn't complete the game against the Jets. That's a problem. Tocchet said he doesn't think it's overly serious, but it doesn't have really the information necessary to make a broader proclamation. So, yeah, get ready on Casey DeSmith if you need a goalie. You could get some run here, and obviously Vancouver's been a solid team, so that's something that you need to be watching. And if it does come out that Demko is going to miss some time, then DeSmith becomes a pretty big target in leagues where you need some volume. Now, having said that, Vancouver does only have the two games this week, so if Demko is going to miss some time, like it would be Vancouver doesn't play till Wednesday, then they don't play again until Saturday, so you could grab DeSmith, get the Wednesday start, but then you'll still have to wait another 3 days until the Saturday rolls around, and then we find out if Demko's good to go by then again or not. That's a potential situation that could happen. So, there's a few ways that this could play out. So you'll keep your eyes open for sure. But if it comes out that Demko is definitely going to miss more than a week, then obviously DeSmith becomes very, very interesting. Over in Florida, Evan Rodriguez and Aaron Ekblad both left the last game there and did not return. Both day to day for now. We should get updates at Monday's practice, I saw, according to Jameson Olive on Twitter. John Tortorella suspended for a couple games for being an absolute dingus, as per usual. Your potential Jack Adams winner, everyone, is what Blake wrote in the notes here. That's John Tortorella for you. It was a pretty good clip, though, Blake, you have to
I mean, it's interesting, right? As a hockey fan,
admit.
you're like, wow, like, what is this guy doing? I remember the commentators were like, I've never seen this before, but like, John Tortorella, come on, buddy. He takes himself so seriously. Like, we don't give a crap, man. Just coach the team, go do the interview, and get the hell out of our face. Like, oh, man, this guy's such a wiener. But, Jack Adams, he might be up for it this year. So I don't know. He's doing something right, Nate?
It's gotta be. Let's move to Toronto. Marner, day to day with lower body injury. Doesn't sound like it's super serious, but Bertuzzi was up on the top power play along with John Tavares as a result. I kind of think that this is going to be curtains on Bertuzzi. He's been ice cold, which will have some relevance for our head-to-head streamer deathmatch recap
Does it?
later. It might still to be determined, but Marner, yeah, when he comes back, I would expect that the Leafs go back to the power play they used for much of the year. Jaden Schwartz out with an upper body injury. If you're looking for Seattle streamers, you're going to have to check on that status. Leo Carlson still out with a concussion, but looks like he may be ready to go shortly. So that would be obviously of interest. I'm just trying to double check the schedule. They've got the Friday Sunday off. Friday Sunday off nights this week, so that could be pretty useful actually. Back end of the week if he does come back. So Carlson actually one that you may want to file away for the back end of the week here. All right, Blake, are you ready for some hot shots?
I can't wait, buddy. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's talk first. We usually lead off with one of these superstars that's absolutely popping off this week. That's going to be Nathan MacKinnon. What can we say about Nathan MacKinnon other than that he has an A-plus first name, 13 points in his last five games, including five goals, skating his customary 22-ish minutes a night, sixth in shots per 60, 19th individual scoring chances four per 60, 13th Corsi four per 60, fourth scoring chances four per 60. Basically, those are right in line with his season-long numbers. He is now on pace for 50 goals and 140 points is Nathan MacKinnon. Absolutely tremendous stuff from the Colorado Avalanche superstar. Anything to say about MacKinnon that we've not already said at some point, Blake? What did we make of this absolutely incendiary season from the
Woo.
Avs superstar?
You love to see it. You love to see it as a hockey fan, as a fantasy hockey fan, if you've drafted him. Oh my God. Like you could get Nate MacKinnon at 3 or 4 this year. I picked him up in my one league, I think at 4. Nate MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. What the? No. This is just a perfect example of when, you know, a really talented player gets a crap ton of ice time, right? And the underlying metrics are obscene, right? And he's healthy and here we go, right? Like this is Nathan MacKinnon at full speed. So I love it. We're seeing, to me, this is kind of ceiling Nathan MacKinnon, but yeah. I mean, the floor isn't crazy low for Nathan MacKinnon, but I just love to see it as a hockey fan. So it's amazing. I hope he does get 140 points. I hope he wins, you know, the Hart this year. I think he absolutely deserves it. This guy's dominant out there.
Absolutely. Let's keep rolling. Let's talk about a whole line over in Dallas. Some people might call this a third line. I think in the last game, to be fair, it was the third line in terms of 5v5 minutes. The Pavelski, Hintz, Robertson line obviously gets the most minutes on most nights. Then the Matt Duchene, Sam Steele, Mason Marchment line was the second most. And then it was the Ben Johnson, Stankoven line in third place. But obviously these guys have generated a lot of talk in the last week or so here. Jamie Benn leads the three of them with 2 goals and 8 points in his last 5 games. Wyatt Johnston, 4 goals, 7 points, his last 5. Stankoven, 3 goals, 5 points in his last 5. Wyatt Johnston skating the most ice time, 17 and a half minutes. Stankoven, just over 15 and a half. Ben, just over 14 and a half. All these guys' underlying metrics look terrific. Individual, on ice, it all looks fantastic. Stankoven actually leads the entire league in on ice scoring chances for per 60 in the last 5 games. And meanwhile, you got Wyatt Johnston, 3rd in the league in shots for 60, 2nd in the league in individual scoring chances for per 60 over the last 5 games. Now, I highlighted Wyatt Johnston last week as a guy looking good under the hood. He absolutely popped off this past week and has continued those under the hood numbers. Now on pace for 29 goals, 61 points. I mean, Stankoven's at a point per game pace with a whole bunch of goals. So if you prorate out his 8 games to an 82 game pace, you're looking at 51 goals, 82 points. Obviously, I think he'd probably have a slowdown at some point there.
No, that's a lock right there. 51 goals, lock.
For sure. Ben now 14 goal, 52 point pace. Of these three, can you rank them for me rest of season? And then actually I want to have you rank them for next season as well, because I think it's an interesting scenario trying to think through what this Dallas Stars lineup might look like next year as well and what we should expect from these guys moving forward.
Yeah, that's a good good question. I do want to say too, though, with these three guys, like Dallas's schedule, like 3 of those games were against, they had 2 against San Jose and 1 against Anaheim, right? So it does sort of pad the stats a little bit, but you know, whatever, like take that for what it is. These guys have been good all season, especially Wyatt Johnston. I mean, he's been incredible. So in terms of ranking them right now, I think you got to go Wyatt Johnston. Then you got to go Jamie Benn for his safe floor because he's on the power play, and then put some stank on it. You gotta get Logan Stankoven in there. The only reason I would put him third, like he's looking great, but I mean, he's 8 games into the league. We don't even know what we have here. Right. And he's a slight guy. He's a small guy. So we need to see about the durability there. But he looks great. And what an embarrassment of riches Dallas has. Their top 9 is stupid. Like any night, any game, they can have one of those lines just take over. Like we talked about it with Duchene. We talked about it, you know, all season with that guy and what he's been able to do, you know, and that line's cooled off with Tyler Seguin being injured. But then these guys just pick up the slack, right? And then when they're not going, you still got J-Rob, Hintz, and Pavelski who are cooking. So it's just a really nice looking team, and they've got 5 wins in a row. Damn. You know, it's that's a scary place to be. You're meeting them in the first round of the playoffs for next season. Oh, that's interesting. I think you got to go Wyatt Johnston again. I would take Wyatt Johnston first. And, you know, to me, Stankoven and Ben, I mean, if I had to choose, I would take Stankoven first. But that's going to be based on what happens rest of season here and in the playoffs, right? I want to see what kind of deployment he gets there. But I'm extrapolating that he's going to be prioritized a little bit more. And Jamie Benn, to be honest, like, yeah, he has the most points here, but he's just riding shotgun with these two studs, right? He's feeding them the puck and letting them do the work, right? They're getting in there, they're getting to those dirty areas, and Ben's, you know, just old reliable, right? And he's not on for that many minutes. So yeah, that's how I would rank it there. But Stankoven looks really good. I'm interested in that player next season, but I'm like you, I'm very interested in Wyatt Johnson next season. And one thing I wanted to ask you, because Wyatt Johnson was a player that you highlighted last year, and he wasn't really popping off in the metrics last year. And I'm wondering, like, it's just a player that you were interested in. And I'm wondering what you saw in Wyatt Johnson that sort of triggered you to think that he might turn into this kind of player. And now that I'm seeing this player, like, I think he's going to be at least a point per game player probably next year, as soon as next year.
Yeah. Two things I would say is he looked to be fairly efficient in terms of the shooting percentage. 15% last year, he's shooting 13.6 this year. That's kind of like above the league average by a significant enough margin that it feels like this is a player who can be efficient. He did go over 9 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 last year, basically despite not having a whole lot of power play time whatsoever. Like, he skated 15:28 on average and 1:40 on the power play. This year, again, 1:46 on average on the power play. It's not like he's gotten a ton of power play time at any point in his career so far. So this is pretty much true 5v5 production that you're looking at from Wyatt Johnson, which is pretty interesting, especially as a rookie for him to come in. Mm-hmm. And he was a young rookie too, so that's also interesting when a player does that at a very young age. That's usually a pretty good indication of some underlying talent there. And then there were some spikes throughout the year. He would get up on a different line, and when he was there, he always seemed to produce. Seemed like when the players around him matched his skill level, then he could really kind of work with them a little bit more, and his underlying numbers seem to reflect that as well. So it's just a little bit more granular and something that I try to take notice of throughout the year with some of these players is if they have hot stretches that are more than just like one or two games, right? Like, if anybody can have a career night and have 4 points in one night and everybody goes, wow, look at that guy, but it never happens again. There's a much more limited subset of players that can have a really good 2 weeks, and there's an even more limited subset of players that can have a really good month. So that's the kind of stuff that I like to take notice of throughout the year is, can guys sustain it for at least some period of time? And then usually the reasons for them not sustaining it seem to be out of their control, especially in the case of a young rookie playing down the lineup. They were rolling with what they had. They didn't need them, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, just some of the things I like to see if they see the highs they can hit too, right? Like, see if they can actually hit a significant high. If they can hit it once, then there's at least a chance they can hit it again. If they hit it multiple times throughout the year, if they have some good hot stretches, then you hope as a player ascending that they gain some consistency and they trend towards their high points rather than just kind of remain inconsistent. There are players that just remain inconsistent throughout their careers, but for a young player like that, that's what you're hoping for. That's what kind of perks your ears up and makes you take notice of a player, in my opinion. All right, Wyatt Johnson. So for myself, Wyatt Johnson, I think I've said enough. I'm definitely in love with this player. I do think that, like, if you look at the cap friendly for the Stars, like, you've got both Duchene and Pavelski that are going to be UFA after this year. I have to imagine at least one of them doesn't come back. That opens up more in the top six there. Maybe they start even leaning on the top six a little bit more if they have to kind of condense things. Maybe they figure out a way to make it all work. That's entirely possible as well. They still got some good deals, but they're going to have to sign Thomas Harley. There's a few things that they're going to have to make happen here. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Regardless, I think that Wyatt Johnson has definitely played himself into more time. And if he gets consistent power play one next year, I do think that he could be an absolute star next year for fantasy hockey purposes. Then I would take Stankoven for next year. Honestly, I'd probably take him for the rest of the season as well over Ben, just on the unknown, right? I think I know what Ben is.
Sounds like spec ad, Nate.
if we're playing a theoretical fantasy hockey game where the points from now to the rest of the season, I'll take Stankoven just because there's a higher ceiling there. But and then for next year as well, I think there's definitely a higher ceiling that Stankoven could definitely hit. He's just produced every single stop along the way, so pretty high on Stankoven as well. And obviously there's been some chemistry there to start the season. All right, we got to keep rolling. I want to talk about Brock Nelson because he's Blake's favorite player. 8 points in his last five games, 18 and a half minutes average time on ice, 40th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 is his best mark through there. So he's not honestly like blown the doors off in terms of the underlying stats, which is something that he has actually done at times throughout the year. But again, he's just been reliable. 37 goal, 71 point pace. I think that's, I'm going to actually look it up because I'm pretty sure that's almost exactly what I projected him for at the beginning of the year. So
I'm going to look at mine too.
Yeah, let's look it up. But yeah, give me your thoughts on Mr. Brock Nelson, the grumpiest man in the world. Have you have you come around on Brock Nelson, acquired him anywhere? Are you enjoying his run of play as much as I am?
I don't have him anywhere, but I mean, yeah, I got to change my tune. And that pretty much changed this year, right? Like when a guy's performing like this in fantasy, you gotta, it doesn't matter if I don't like the player or he's boring or he's, you know, I'm not even like, Brock Nelson was never really on my radar, but he certainly should be. I mean, like you said, he's popping off lately, but metrics wise, I don't know. He's not really going crazy, but on the season, it looks awesome. Like this guy is 23rd overall in the league in shots to go per 60. We love that. And he's 7th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Boom. You got to love a player like that. I don't care if he makes that flat-lipped elevator face, you know, weird, dead-eyed, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. This guy's a fantasy hockey stud, and he's doing the thing. So, and I like the way that the Islanders have been playing. I really feel like they're making their best shot at getting into the playoffs here. I like Patrick Waugh behind the bench. I think he brings a lot of, you know, just intangibles there, like emotion and just players playing for him, right? And I think Nelson is going to be a benefactor of that, has been a benefactor of that. And yeah, I like the player. I don't like his face, but Jimmy cracked corn and I don't care. I'm in. I'm going to get me some Brock Nelson next season just so I can say I did it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I looked it up. So the pace again, 37 goals, 71 points is his current point pace. And I had him projected for 36 and 75. Ooh. He's gotten, yeah, just about 45 seconds less average time on ice than I had him projected for, which pretty much accounts for the points difference.
Oh my.
If you do the math. So I'm feeling pretty good about that one. But honestly, like Brock Nelson, that's a projection that you should hit every year because he's been this guy for a while now.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat here. So yeah, 75 points, 36 goals, just over 18 minutes. That's what I had too. So I think this is one that we were together on. So there you go.
There it is. Kevin Fiala is another one we should talk about. 4 goals, 8 points, his last 5, skating over 19 minutes a night, which is a big departure from where he was. Even with this latest stretch of play, he's still well under 18 minutes average time on ice for the season. 27 goals, 74 point pace for Fiala. 13th in the league in shots per 60 over this stretch. Pretty solid stuff from Fiala. He's been playing on the Deneau-Moore line, and they found some chemistry there, and they've actually been the top line in terms of 5v5 ice time for the Kings over the last little bit. So that's really elevated Fiala and his, obviously, ability to put up points. You're on the ice more, you get more chances to put up points, and he's been doing that. So rest of season, you think Fiala exceeds the 74-point pace based on this latest stretch of play, or where are you at on him now?
Yeah, I mean, this guy was a buy low for such big parts of the season, and LA was deploying him in a strange manner, as they do there in LA. But I love that he's getting, like you said, like the most even strength deployment. That's not something that is typical for Kevin Fiala. Like he's been an offensive kind of guy, a power play guy, but the fact that they're running him out there with a very good defensive center in Philip Deneau and Trevor Moore, who's kind of similar to Fiala in ways, right, with the metrics, I think it's a really good thing for Fiala. And 74 points pace, I could see higher than that, right? You know, maybe an 80-point pace, point per game pace moving forward. He's doing the thing and he's clutch, and it's not second half Fiala anymore. It's last quarter Fiala. All right. Last quarter Fiala is who I really want. Not second half. Cause I, you know, the start of the second half, he was still dinking around, but yeah, I love what I'm seeing here. He's getting hot at the right time for fantasy playoffs. So I'm all the way in on Fiala. I've got him in 2 spots and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I don't know if last quarter Fiala rolls off the tongue quite as well, no. But we can workshop that.
It's more accurate, but that's fine. Man. We don't need accuracy.
No, accuracy should never stand in the way of a good tagline, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about Yegor Sharangovich, another goal today. For Sharangovich, up to 6 goals and 8 points in his last 5, skating about 17 and a half minutes a night. 51st in shots per 60, 80th individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 96th on-ice Corsi, 4 per 60, and 54th in on-ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. On the season now, pacing for 35 goals, 60 points. I mean, he's still shooting 19.2%, but over the last number of games, the shot and chance generation has come up again in a big way. What is your current take on Sharangovich? What do you think he can do? He's playing with Huberto, so obviously if Huberto is doing his playmaking thing correctly, then Sharangovich should be a benefactor. But yeah, Sharangovich on that line and then on the top power play as well, which is a decent place to be. What are your thoughts here, Blake, on Mr. Sharangovich?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think like where we are now with Sharangovich, I'm a little bit more secure in the situation. Like trade deadline's done. We know what the Calgary Flames are till the end of the season. And they're giving this guy top line, top power play. And I don't really see that changing because he's producing. So I feel very confident in Sharangovich moving forward. I think this is absolutely a viable player. You know, like you said, his shooting percentage is a little high. I don't think this is a 19% shooting percentage guy, right? He shot 9.9% last year, which could be the outlier and probably is, right? But 19 is too high. I could see him, you know, down like 12 to 15 is probably where this guy lives. So I think there's probably some regression in goals, but you know, there probably should be a higher level of assists, right? Like he's playing with Huberto, the 50-point man. So, you know, buddy, can you put the biscuit in the basket and help out Sharangovich here? All right. He's doing all the work. He's doing all the heavy lifting. But yeah, top line, top power play on the Flames. Like it's not a sexy pick. It's not a sexy move to have Sharangovich on your team, but this guy absolutely needs to be on a roster. And I would imagine that he continues doing this rest of season.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, right, where you're starting to worry a little bit less about the metrics and the sustainability because, I mean, totally. We've only got a few more weeks. You got this week. If you're scrapping to make playoffs, you got to win this week. So you're rolling with a guy who's hot and hoping he can stay in the Flames. Got it. That was nice. A pretty good one. Oh, I didn't even intend
it
been, one.
Yeah, it would have been better if you didn't address it. Just you should have just.
Yeah, I should have just. We'll edit that out. We'll edit it. I should have just winked and kept going once I
realized.
Gun
and the wink.
Yeah. Next time. All right. Now that we've settled that officially and beaten it to death, let's continue on. Timo Meier, 7 goals, 8 points, his last 5. This is the Timo Meier we were looking for, skating over 19 minutes a night, 8th in shots per 60, 38th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 12th Corsi, 4 per 60, 28th scoring chances, 4 per 60. Now looking at a slightly more respectable 29 goal, 55 point pace on the season. Are we all aboard the Meier train? Is there still some trepidation here, Blake? What's your thoughts on Timo?
There's no reason to not be on board the Timo train. All right. We got players have been cleared out like for him to move his way up the lineup. And we got a new coach in here, right? That's problem A solved, problem B solved. Okay. Now Meier is getting 19 minutes a night. That's what we want to see. And it seems to me that Meier is healthy as well. I really do think that he had a lingering injury that was bugging him all year where he wasn't really performing to his standards, right? But that said, he wasn't getting power play time. It was silliness. So now, like, look at these last couple games. Like in his hat trick game, he was out for 81% of the power play. Last game, he had almost 5 minutes on the power play. That's where Timo Meier needs to be, with Jack Hughes on the power play. And if we do that, now we're looking at this late second, early third round player that people drafted in draft season because he does the other things too, right? That he hits and he shoots. So I'm all in on Timo Meier. I had him in 2 spots. I just held him all year. I didn't give a damn. I was like, no, I'm not dropping Timo. All right. I spent some draft capital on this man and I'm going down with the ship. But exactly what needed to happen has happened for Timo Meier to pop off. Plus, I think he's back to full health. So yeah, I'm in. Where are you at with Timo? I know you picked him accidentally in our podcaster league. So you must be stoked about this.
Yeah, it's coming back around. I accidentally picked him over Jake Guentzel, which looked horrible for most of the year, but is obviously good right now with Guentzel out. But yeah, Meier is a guy like I think I've talked about this multiple times. I had a pretty low projection on him relative to pretty much any other projection I saw. And that was because I didn't see a clear path for him to get a ton of minutes like this. But as you mentioned, both of those problems have gone away in the way of Tyler Toffoli and the coach there. And now in the new situation, like, he's always been this player in terms of the talent, right? So it feels like a little bit of a, like a Nikolaj Ehlers situation and what Ehlers could be doing if his problem A and problem B were solved. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel about Meyer. It's not that I ever really doubted the talent of the player. It's really that I was concerned about the situation more than anything. And with that solved, I'm pretty aboard the Timo Meyer train. I do agree there was something else going on at some point. Maybe he was just sulking because he wasn't being used the way he wanted to be. Maybe that's all it was. Maybe he just didn't get along with Lindy Ruff. Now that Ruff is gone, he's all sunshines and rainbows and he's ready to go again. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe he's just that mercurial. Who knows? But all we need to know at this point is that he's back to being the player that we thought he could be, and he's back to getting the minutes that we want for him for fantasy purposes, and we're all aboard.
It's a feel-good fantasy hockey story, isn't it, Nate?
It is. Let's manifest that for Ehlers sometime in the near future.
Eventually.
Let's go over. I want to squeeze one more in here on the hot shots. Brady Shea has 3 goals and 5 points in his last 5 games. 21 minutes average time on ice. He ranks 5th amongst all defensemen in shots per 60 in that span, 22nd in Corsi 4 per 60, 35th in scoring chances 4 per 60. So this is a player that, I mean, like on the season now, 13 goal, 46 point pace, that's a viable fantasy defenseman. If you had just held him all year, you would have been fairly happy overall with the results as your 4th or 5th guy. So what's your thoughts on Shea here heading into the fantasy playoffs? Do you feel confident in Shea, or are you still viewing him as a fringe guy that you probably kick to the curb at some point when the schedule demands it?
I think he's a bubble guy. You know, like, we're talking about defensemen as opposed to, you know, forwards with these kind of metrics and production. Like, it's a little bit different. I don't know. To me, like, Brady Shea is very valuable because he's got 10 goals for defensemen, right? And he barely gets any power play time, or not enough to really be doing anything with it. So again, that is super valuable. That is what we want to see. You know, similar to who are you talking about with that even strength stuff? Oh, Wyatt Johnston. Yeah, like, he just doing stuff at even strength, right? Like, that means your floor is really solid. And Brady Shea has a very solid floor, and I think he's absolutely viable for fantasy. But would I hesitate to drop him if, you know, there was a streamer that could get me, you know, maybe more points and not the consistency that Shea offers? Yeah, I'd kick Shea to the curb, no problem. But I love this. I mean, he got 18 goals last year for a D-man. That's excellent. You know, 10 this year, 46-point pace. That's great. He, you know, if he gets hot, he could get 50 points. This team looks really good, and they're flying right now, Carolina. So absolutely like Shea. I don't have him anywhere. This is one of those guys that kind of slips through the cracks, but is very valuable for fantasy, just to keep your fantasy team's floor up.
Yep. Yeah, I pretty much concur on Shea. On the season, 49% IPP is probably a bit high. I do think that he's probably more of a fringe guy, like a 10-goal, 40-point player in most seasons. You'll like him when he's doing well, and you'll hate it when he's not. And that's kind of the player that'll be. So overall, I don't hate it for sure. I definitely would roster him when he's hot, when he's firing pucks like this, getting new peripheral stats like this. But like you, I would not feel bad about dropping Brady Shea if and when a better thing comes along. All right, we're going to take a break here and plug the Discord. As Blake mentioned, some people are dropping out if they are falling out of their playoff contention and they don't want to stick it out to the end with us. So that just means there's all the more reason for you to drop by and say hello. So join the Apples and Geos Discord server and come talk to us about your problems, what you need to win in your matchup, what you need to do to make the playoffs. Let's talk about that. It's all good fun in there right now. Everybody pulling for each other for sure to make the playoffs and to go to the end, win some money, win great fame and accolades, dunk on your friends, whatever it is that you're searching for this fantasy hockey season. You can find it in the Apples and Geno's Discord server for sure. While we're here as well, if you need some help with your fantasy hockey teams, check out the Apples and Geo's Patreon. For a low monthly subscription fee, I'm helping people out with their fantasy hockey teams. If you just need a few questions answered or you need a team review, you can find that there. And if you're getting anything out of this podcast, if you could rate, review, whatever is easiest for you, whatever's at the tips of your fingers right there, that'd be great for us. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. We're trying to pump up those subscriber numbers. So if you're on YouTube, and even if you're not on YouTube, you could pop over there. You could hit the subscribe real quick, and we would appreciate that. All right, Blake, we got to hit some have-nots. Are you ready for this?
Absolutely, buddy. Something before we get into the have-nots, just something I think about when we talk about have-nots. These are the guys, especially at this point of the year, that are pissing off fantasy managers, that are basically maybe knocking them out of their fantasy playoffs and things like that. So these guys right here are guys that are going to go at value in draft season next year, right? Because people are pissed. They'll be like, buddy, you just went, you know, 10 games without a point or what. I like, get the hell out of my sight. And then meanwhile, we can scoop up and pick up the pieces. You know what I'm saying? So there you go.
Yeah, I do agree. The have-nots, just as a general statement, they get to be really interesting this time of year, because at what point does it really not matter to you what this player should be doing versus what they are doing at the moment, right? And that's something that we really have to be careful and dissect at this time of year. So we're going to start off with another full line. We did the Dallas Stars third line as the hotshots, and now we've got the St. Louis Blues first line as the have-nots. Like, it's just across the board terrible stuff from Pavel Buchnevich, Robert Thomas, and Jordan Kyrou. They've been pretty solid all year, quite honestly. But yeah, Buchnevich 0 points his last five. Thomas and Kyrou both just 1 point in their last five. Underlying numbers not looking that great. The highest number of any of these guys in any one of the metrics that I usually cite here is Jordan Kyrou is 74th in the league in shot attempts per 60 over the last five games. And that's not good enough to really be a strong fantasy contributor for most players. So on the season, I mean, Buchnevich still pacing for 32 goals, 64 points. You got Kyrou pacing for 26 and 62. You got Thomas pacing for 26 and 88 with all those assists that he's been generating. Talk to me about St. Louis. They've got a good schedule this week. I think you're holding them this week, aren't you, Blake? Like, is there any scenario if you're in this scenario where you maybe you've got two of these guys and you're up against it, you got to win this week to get into your playoffs, are you thinking about dropping any of these guys?
Yeah, if you got to win, yeah, for sure. There's no question. You know, especially, and I know this might be spicy, but I mean, I've had Robert Thomas on my sell high basically all year, right? And, you know, shout out to the man. The guy's on an 88-point pace, 69-point pace currently, which is very nice, but it doesn't make any sense, right? This guy doesn't shoot, and he doesn't get scoring chances, period, right? He's out there for a boatload of ice time, right? 21 minutes average time on ice, basically. And yeah, he has been a little bit better in his metrics this season. Like, it's not... Well, actually, now I'm looking at his season numbers. Dear God, no! He's had times during this year where he has been shooting more and getting more chances, right? But, I mean, this is on the back, Robert Thomas, of, like, 15.3% shooting, which is actually low for him, but still very efficient, right? IPP on the season, 81%. That seems high, right? So Robert Thomas, to me, never felt like a 92-point player. Like, I know he was pacing for that earlier this season. That never sat right with me. I think this is a point-per-game player for sure, like 80 points. Robert Thomas, that's kind of where I think he should live. But yeah, he's had a great season in terms of converting, and it's just a bad stretch for them. Buchnevich, again, like, same kind of problem. He's a little bit better than Thomas in those metrics, but... yeah, he lives off of massive deployment. Like, he gets over 20 minutes a night and efficiency. So if that efficiency goes away, he doesn't convert for whatever, then you have weeks like this. So to me, Kyrou is the player that I feel the most secure in, just because of what he's been able to do with his metrics previously. You know, on the season, he has 64, or he's 64th overall in shots on goal per 60, and he's actually 25th overall in shot attempts, individual shot attempts per 60, which is really nice. And that's something that we've come to expect from Jordan Kyrou. So... yeah, I long story short, they're going to come out of it. It's been a rough stretch for St. Louis, right? They had that new coach bump, and then, yeah, they're kind of falling off the track here a little bit. So I do think that they're going to get it going again. They're all together on that line. They're all together on power play one. So they're going to get all the deployment that they need to work themselves out of this funk. But yeah, it's frustrating. And yeah, to answer your question, I would absolutely drop one of these guys if I thought I could make my team better and help myself win the week.
Yeah, I think that's the part where I struggle. Like, I don't think you're gonna make your team better for this week. St. Louis has three off nights this week. Like, who are you realistically picking up that's helping your team that much, keeping those extra games played in your lineup,
Yeah,
and
maybe
then
not this week.
also improving on the point paces that you might expect even in a bad week from Kyrou Buchnevich-Tomic? That's the part where I'm a little tough on it. Like, in general, I agree with the sentiment that you don't have to continue rostering players just because of name brand value if they're not doing anything for you, and you absolutely need to win this week. But overall, like, the numbers are not great, but they're also not like so terrible. Like, I mean, Rob Thomas's numbers are actually a little bit better than his season-long numbers on the individual side of things. So the numbers are just not so terrible that I think that they can't score. It's just that they've had a rough week, a rough 5 games here, and I would anticipate that they get back to at least a decent pace, a pace that you're comfortable with, if not excited about necessarily, in the next week here. So I do think that you're right about what you say, but maybe this isn't the week. At least the Monday, Wednesday off nights, hold them through there, see what you get against Boston and LA, two tough opponents. If they're able to come through for you against two tough opponents, you're probably hanging on for the Saturday. Sunday versus Minnesota and Anaheim as well.
Totally fair.
All right, let's kick it over. I want to talk about Claude Giroux. He's been skating 21 plus minutes a night, has just one assist his last 5 games to show for it. The underlying numbers atrocious here for Giroux. They haven't been terrific all year, but 365th shots per 60, 361st individual scoring chances 4 per 60 in the last 5 games. He's just like given up on shooting entirely. Oddly enough, the on ice numbers are not terrible. 62nd in Corsi 4 per 60, 41st in scoring chances 4 per 60, but that's not a great place to be for a guy who's still pacing for 24 goals, 70 points on the season. What are you seeing from Drew in Ottawa? Obviously, they trade away Tarasenko there. They have lost Josh Norris to injury. What's the outlook here for Drew moving forward? And would he be someone that you'd consider dropping in a week where the Ottawa Senators have 3 games played and no off nights?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and not a problem I have this year because I don't have Drew in any spots, but Ottawa just doesn't look right to me. It's weird to me that they're coming out, their body language out there, like their games don't make sense. They're really not getting a lot of chances. Like, it's nice, the ice time is nice, so the fact that he's playing with Matthew Joseph, Tim Stützle, like, that's a reasonable line. He's still getting power play time, right? Albeit on the second unit there. But I don't know. Yeah, Giroux to me is a player this week coming up. Yeah, if you need to drop someone, like, and again, it has to be for something that's going to benefit your team, right? Like, let's say someone dropped Robert Thomas or Jordan Kyrou. I would pick up Robert Thomas or Jordan Kyrou this week over Claude Giroux. That's where I'd be because, because of the off nights. But it's just not, yeah, I don't really have a real pulse on what's going on with Giroux in particular. I like the deployment, but I don't like where the team's going, and they just don't look right to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Despite the usage, like as you mentioned, it's second line with Joseph and Stützle, which is not definitely not as good as the Pinto Batherson to Chuck top line, Kachuk top line. And then the second power play unit, as you mentioned there, with like Kubalik and Ridly Greigs on that unit, like it's a definite step down from the top power play when he's on that second unit. So that's concerning. I don't think you have to hang on to Claude Giroux this week if you're in need of opening up another roster spot and getting another streamer in there to get some extra games played. Drew could be that guy, and I wouldn't blink twice. Let's move it along. Patrick Kane makes the list here. One goal in his last five, averaging over 19 minutes a night, 143rd shots per 60, 193rd individual scoring chances 4 per 60, 143 Corsi 4 per 60, 79th in scoring chances 4 per 60. In his 33 games this season, pacing for 32 goals, 77 points. So that's actually pretty solid stuff still from Patrick Kane. But, you know, Larkin out, the team itself in a playoff spot, so they still got lots to play for. But do we think that Kane is at this stage in his career can really sustain an entire team and kind of put it on his back the way that he has for Chicago for all those years?
Not by himself, no. But I don't think it's that kind of team either. I mean, he still has DeBrincat. There's still reasonable players on this team to do stuff. It's not like the last couple of years in Chicago to me. Like, DeBrincat is a huge disappointment as well. Like, what is this man doing? It really hasn't come to fruition here. And the loss of Dylan Larkin, I think, is much bigger than maybe people thought, right? Like, Detroit has lost five straight games, and they're clinging to the last playoff spot there in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, I don't know really what to say about Kane, but he's going to get all the opportunity there is, right? Because he's by far like their most elite offensive talent there, right? So they're going to need him to score goals. He's going to get all the power play. He's going to get line one. He's going to get big minutes. So, I mean, we're going to see if this Patrick Kane is similar to the one previously, right? But if, to do that, he's going to have to up his shot totals. Like the last five games here, I mean, 142nd in shots to go per 60. It's okay, right? About 187 in individual scoring chances for. It's not enough, right? He's really going to have to kind of, like you said, put the team on his back and start firing the puck, right? But I don't know. Again, five straight losses, Larkin's out. It's tenuous times there. So I think you're obviously holding on to Patrick Kane. Like, yeah, you're going to keep Patrick Kane on your team. There's no question there. But I'm not super convinced that he's going to be able to pull the team out of this without Larkin there.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is that DeBrincat's not doing much better, right? And yep. So you are kind of relying on Kane to be that guy. Did kind of come true what I thought might happen with Larkin out, that they have really leaned on a top power play unit. It's been Kane, Fabry, DeBrincat, and Raymond. Compher has kind of snuck in as a faceoff guy for Fabry in a few spots, but then Gostisbehere is the back end of that. But overall, I'm trying to hang on to Kane, but again, it's hard to fault somebody. The Red Wings do have four games this week, only one off night on the Sunday. So if Kane is that guy that you're thinking about benching because of the way that he's been playing lately, then, you know, it's hard to fault you if you're thinking of going a different way at this time. All right, some defensemen I want to get to. We got to talk about Erik Karlsson again. 0 points his last five games, skating still almost 23 minutes a night, 10th in shots per 60 amongst defensemen, 10th on ice Corsi 4 per 60, 8th on ice scoring chances 4 per 60. Feels like I'm repeating myself. Stuff we've been saying about Karlsson all year long, and still he's on pace for, I mean, for most defensemen, this would be a great stat line, but for Karlsson, it's been disappointing. 11 goal, 56 point pace for Karlsson on the season. The Penguins have the same schedule as Detroit. They got four games, one off night coming on the Sunday. Is there a scenario? So say there's a scenario in which you've got five defensemen that you're actually kind of liking, and Karlsson, you're actually debating sitting him. Like, is there a scenario in which you're dropping Karlsson, or you think he's just a guy that you're going to go down with the ship on?
That's a very, yeah, I'd have to hear the real specifics on that. But I mean, the long story short is I'll drop anybody if I think that it's going to, you know, make my team better. And to me, like, again, Pittsburgh is like Ottawa. I don't like what I'm seeing out there. Like, it seems like that they're listless. It feels like they'll never score a goal again. It's crazy to me. So with the offensive power, even still without Guentzel there, like, we got Crosby, Malkin is putting up donuts in straight games. Like, let's go skate for 19 minutes, zero shots, zero anything, no hits, nothing. So, it's a really bad stretch. That said, I mean, Karlsson's still putting up decent metrics, even in the last five games here. So I would probably not drop Karlsson. I think I would just let him ride it out. I think a 56 point pace is too low for Karlsson. So I think he is a little bit of a buy low at this point, but I mean, the ceiling isn't much higher at this point of the season. I think maybe he should probably be closer to like a 65 point pace, 60 to 65 points. So I think there's a little bit of room there. His shooting percentage is garbage this year, right? Lowest in 4 years that he's had. But it really does look like last season was the outlier and not the norm. Hey, Nate, my 101 point season.
Yeah, it is definitely the outlier for sure. I think everybody kind of knew it at the time that it was the outlier. But yeah. I still think it was reasonable to think, like, even looking at these metrics, I still think that it was reasonable to think, like, if you had shown me his underlying numbers from the season without any of the, like, IPP shooting percentage.
Yeah, like, guess that, how many points he has?
Yeah, I would have said 70 pretty comfortably. So he's done everything but score this season, which is obviously no consolation to his fantasy managers this year. But overall, I think Karlsson is a guy I'm going down with the ship on. It just feels like there's a chance that he flips a switch some week, goes off for like 5 points, and how many other defensemen can win you your fantasy hockey week in the playoffs? That's just something that's so hard to give up on for me. Maybe I'm just holding on to this guy too much, and I should just accept what's actually happening in front of my eyes. But that's how I feel about Erik Karlsson. Another guy that I've been very high on but has gone ice cold as of late is Thomas Harley. He's actually got 0 points in his last six games. Still skating like 22 minutes a night over the last five here, 26th in shots per 60, still doing that, 24th in Corsi 4 per 60, 40th scoring chances 4 per 60. Still pacing for 18 goals, 46 points, really good stuff on the season, and that obviously includes a good chunk of the early season where he's kind of just rising up the ranks and proving himself. So overall, still really solid numbers for Thomas Harley on the season despite this latest stretch. What's the most concerning for me with Harley is the last two games he's been under 20 minutes, 1905, 1959. Has still been playing with Heiskanen in second power play, so I still think that Harley's going to have like fringe fantasy value rest of season, but also I really don't think this is a player that you absolutely have to hold. The tough part about Harley is that the underlying metrics are so good and the team is so good that he is one of these players that could pop off as well. So you know, if there was a Heiskanen injury, then all of a sudden Harley becomes the most valuable player out there on your waiver wire if he is out there. So there's that element of it too. What's your thoughts on Harley? Dallas Stars, three games, zero off night week. If you have Harley, are you thinking about dropping him for maybe, let's throw out a real hypothetical here. We got Harley on the team. We got Braden Schenn out there who hasn't done much of anything recently either, but he is going to get you three off nights for your forwards. Would you drop Harley to add Braden Schenn this week?
If Harley's not getting in my lineup, 100%. He's out the door and I'm taking three games of Braden Schenn. And then see what's what. You know, if even get a little more granular than that, if I got two games out of Harley and three games out of Schenn, I'd have to look at the next week. Let's go with Schenn on that. Yeah, but I mean, I totally get the sentiment, and yeah, I agree with you. I think Harley's a bubble player. We have to pump the brakes on, you know, like crowning this guy the next big thing, which we knew all along, right? He had a really nice stretch there, and Heiskanen was out when he started popping off, right? So he was aided by that, but you know, Harley's cold right now. Pair that with the fact that Heiskanen is freaking incendiary. He's going off. This guy's popping off with assists all over the place. So it's kind of this Dallas way, isn't it? Like we talked about their top nine. Well, now they also have like a bunch of defensemen that could get the job done as well. Like they've got so many studs in the stable here in Dallas. So long term for me, Harley is a great play. I think he's a draftable defenseman next season. We need to see, you know, what kind of deployment he gets. I would like to see that up over 20 minutes as well. Like you said, that is a little concerning, but I mean, in one of those games, he still got 3 minutes on the power play, which is pretty damn nice. So yeah, I love any defenseman that can get to double digit goals. Like I'm in on, and I would say like we talked about Brady Shea, I would much rather have Thomas Harley than Brady Shea, you know, right now. And you know, in the future, I think this guy has a much higher ceiling. And so that kind of makes him exciting, but yeah, we knew that a little bit of regression was coming here and he wasn't going to continue on like a massive goal scoring bender that he was on. But yeah, nice player. Braden Schenn is not better than Thomas Harley, but you know, that's what we got to do. We got to do, right, Nate?
That is true. Yeah, I was thinking like if Harley is your fifth defenseman and you can drop your fifth defenseman, go down to four defensemen for the week, and then add three games played, then that's probably just something I'm going to do if I have to win a week, right? Kind of almost regardless of how good that streamer is that's getting me the three games played. I mean, yes, there are limits to that. Like I wouldn't.
They're calling Jakob Vrana back up. Yeah, let's get him in the lineup.
There are limits, but in general, that's a play that I would make a lot of the time in a week where I absolutely needed a win. All right, that's going to be it for Have Nots. If we didn't talk about a player that you wanted to hear about, make sure you join me for Monday's 8 p.m. EST live stream, Puzzling Players. If you join the Apples and Geos Discord server, be on the watch out for my call. Usually goes out sometime in the early afternoon where I throw out a call to the Apples and Geos Discord server, ask for Puzzling Players. Everybody throws in the guys that they want to hear about, and then I talk about them live on stream Monday every week, 8 p.m. EST. Be there.
Oh, my God. This guy jacks you up. Holy
All right, let's get under the hood. I want to talk about Zach Werenski. I feel like this is a little bit unorthodox. Usually, I'm talking about guys who are a little bit under-rostered and guys that you might want to consider picking up and holding potentially long-term, things like that. But Zach Werenski is just a player that I think we talked about him, or I talked about him, I can't remember exactly, recently on a podcast, and I wanted to dig in a little bit more and just give Zach Werenski his due. So Zach Werenski, last 10 games, 24.03 average time on ice, 4.7 shots per 60, which is not actually as good as he has been throughout most of his career. He's 55th in the league, but he also has 4.7 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, which is good for 17th. So the shots have been directly correlating into scoring chances. So he's basically just been a bit more selective with his shots as of late. 12th in Corsi 4 per 60. And this is where I really want to get a little bit more into the weeds than I usually do. So 12th in Corsi 4 per 60 amongst defensemen last 10 games. But check this out. 75 Corsi 4 per 60 is his number. The team in this stretch is 61.5. So he's literally 13.5 Corsi 4 per 60 above the rest of his team. Whenever he's out there, he's elevating the team by that much. And then in terms of the Corsi 4 percentage, when he's out there, 52.5% Corsi 4 percentage, the team at 48%. Corsi 4 percentage. Flip over to scoring chances 4 per 60, on ice scoring chances 4 per 60. He ranks 6th in the league in the last 10 games. And then if you look at his numbers, 37.7 scoring chances 4 per 60 versus the team, 28.7 scoring chances 4 per 60. Just a massive gap there. In terms of the scoring chance 4 percentage, 55.7% scoring chance 4 percentage versus the team, 48.6 scoring chance 4 percentage. Leads the team in on-ice scoring chances 4 per 60 in this 10-game stretch, second only to Nylander, who has only actually played 8 games in there and obviously plays a lot less ice time, 15-40 time on ice, playing against third lines. A little bit different there for sure. And it's not just power play time. He's only got 2.11 average time on ice on the power play per game through this 10-game stretch and 1.06 on the PK. So he is out there on the penalty kill as well if you're thinking he's just getting a boost from the power play. That's not the case. Zach Werenski, absolutely a monster in terms of his offensive production. I think that if this guy, like if you swapped him and Morgan Riley, I think Zach Werenski would be having a 75-point season right now with like 25 goals. I truly believe that. I think Zach Werenski should absolutely be given his due, and I will be drafting Zach Werenski very highly next season based on what he's done this year. Your thoughts, Blake?
Yeah, I don't have much to add there, but I know you and I were both high on Werenski this season. I actually projected him for 22 goals. Joke's on me, all right? Yeah, Columbus is an active dumpster fire, but that's really the reason behind his lack of true production, right? And he's still on a 60-point pace, right? So I'm a big fan of Werenski. I think, like just like you, I'm going to be looking to target this man. And based on the fact that he's on Columbus and that he's hasn't like he's under the radar, right? This guy's going to be a slam dunk for value next season in draft season.
I absolutely believe so. Let's talk about the move of the week. Blake, what was your move of the week?
God, none of my moves worked. Oh, geez. Yeah. So, you know, I was talking to Nate before the show here, but I have five, or actually I have seven head-to-head leagues, but five of them are going well. They're going right now. And I won four of those matchups, but the one I did lose was the one I needed to win the most. And that was Kakupful, which really sucked. And so I'm not even going to make the playoffs in Kakupful. Second most points in the division. I'm not going to make the playoffs. This is crazy stuff. That's what you call a bad beat, all right? But I'm taking it in stride. But anyways, one of the moves I made there that ended up kind of being a deciding factor was picking up Connor Ingram at the beginning of the week with hopes that he would get 3-1 vegetable lasagna. And that's exactly what happened. And he gave me the highest of highs by giving me a beautiful shutout. And then he proceeded to get pumped today 7-4 by the ridiculous Chicago Blackhawks. So yeah, Connor Ingram kind of sealed my fate there, but yeah, I thought it was a good move at that point. I didn't have really any room for skaters, but I was able to get a goalie in, and I had Joey Decord was my goalie drop because yeah, he lost the net a little bit there to Grubauer, which I don't even know what's going on in the Seattle situation right now. But yeah, and if you live and die with your goalies, unfortunately, that's not what I would like my season to ride on as a goalie, but here we are.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I want to talk about goalies too. So I don't have really a specific move of the week here, but I do want to just take this little second here to talk about setting up 0G for the playoffs. So if you're like me and you had Joey Decord in a bunch of places, if you're worried about Ingram and you're still holding on to him somewhere and you're thinking about moving off him, if any of your 0G options are kind of blowing up right now and you're trying to figure that out, hopefully you've got a week here where this week doesn't mean much in terms of your playoffs. If you're comfortably in the playoffs and you can afford to take some ads, take some time, try to figure out what you're going to set yourself up for the fantasy playoffs in terms of your goaltenders. That's what I'm going to be doing in a couple of spots where I'm kind of up in a bye situation and I would have to have a really truly terrible week for that to change. So that's what I'm looking at in a couple of spots here. I think it's really interesting, actually, in my Kakupful division where I'm second right now in there. Still have a chance to go to first and still have a chance to fall out, but it's a pretty low chance either way. I'm almost guaranteed to be in second unless some pretty crazy stuff happens in the next week. So I'm really looking at solidifying my goaltending because right now the only goaltender on my roster is Connor Ingram, who, picked up and
Yeah.
had the great Friday and then was pumped to see that he got in against Chicago. I was like, oh yeah, great game against Chicago, and then they'll ride him into the playoffs. I'll be all set. And then yeah, this happened and now I have no idea what to do. So all the goaltenders out there, I'll just read them out. Allmark is out there, which is an interesting one for sure. He's widely rostered across a lot of leagues, but he doesn't get the volume, and Boston doesn't have a ton of games played rest of season, and so he's actually been sitting out there for over a week now as Linus Allmark. Which is interesting, but I was looking at that, and if I look ahead to my weeks 24, 25, Allmark is going to open with just, if they keep with the every other game schedule that they've been on between Swayman and Allmark for basically the entire season, then Allmark would only play one game for me in week 24, the first week, and that's just not going to do it. You need, in a points league, you need to have some volume there. So Allmark pretty much off the table for me for that reason, unless something gets messed up with Boston in terms of how they're using their goaltenders. Swayman gets injured, obviously it'd be an instant priority add. But regardless, I'm probably not going to pick up Allmark, even though I think a lot of people would see that player out on the waiver wire and they'd be all over that. So that's how I'm looking at it right now. There's also Joey Decord still out there. He came back, had two straight games played after Grubauer had a run of starts, and he looked pretty solid. So we'll see what Seattle does in the next game, and that maybe could be a route you could go. You got Jonas Korpisalo, who at least is probable to get some volume in Ottawa. I don't like the situation, but at least some volume is possible there. You got Petr Mrázek in Chicago, who's obviously gotten a lot of volume this year. Results haven't been great as of late, but volume is pretty guaranteed. You got Vejmelka, so I could kind of grab the Arizona tandem for the next couple weeks here, kind of see how it shakes out, and then just drop whichever one I don't want for the fantasy playoffs. Both guys from the Columbus tandem, Merzlikins, Tarasov are out there. You got Jake Allen recently traded to New Jersey, who's out there. So those are my options. That's the sort of thing that I want to be sorting out in this week if I can. I want to take some time this week, take some ads, figure this thing out and get myself set up for playoffs. If you don't have that luxury, that's fine. You can still do this the same way you've been doing it all season with 0G. You don't get tied into these guys just because they had a good stretch for you and you think that they're the savior. We've seen obviously the rise and fall and rise again of Cam Talbot now. All these things are possible with goaltenders, and we should not be surprised when these things happen. The idea is we just want to be on the thing that's rising at the right time for the fantasy hockey playoffs. So that's just one instance of thing of situation where I'm going to be doing that, and I think that's something that I really want to impress on people. They should be really thinking critically about what their playoff situation is and how they can set themselves up at the goaltender position to give themselves the best odds of at least getting volume at the very least, especially in a points league. At least make sure you secure yourself some volume, and then the randomness of the schedule, the randomness of one week for a fantasy hockey playoff, that's going to come into play. So at least get yourself in a position where you give yourself a puncher's chance. All right. Unfortunately, we do have to recap the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. Blake did take this one down. Sam Bennett had actually a pretty solid game at the end to kind of salvage an okay streamer week. 14.75 points for Sam Bennett. Tyler Bertuzzi had 8.25 points. I thought it'd be fun to win with the Maple Leaf. Boy, was I wrong, because the Maple Leafs don't do that. Now we are back to 10-10 even on the season. And this week we got my Quentin Byfield versus Blake's Alexis Lafreniere. What do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Creamer?
You know what? I gave it 110%. My best players were my best players. All that. You know what I'm talking about. Buddy, how many of these do we do? Do we have two more? Or is this the last one?
Oh, that's a good question, actually.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Theoretically, I guess we could go till the end. Yeah, we'll have to decide where
the
end is.
Yeah,
we might have to end it on an odd number week, otherwise we might just end up in a tie at the end. And that would just be awful. I don't think either of us could stomach that.
I can't live with that. No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll figure that out, but that's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value. Hoped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.